live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting but not video streaming on location today. We're going to talk about all those statements by American Medicine for almost 30 years saying alcohol is good for you. Well, they were wrong. Dead wrong. Oxford University, going to talk about that today, along with about 15 other important original health stories, always from peer-reviewed journals, but not really discussed in the mainstream media. Then I'm going to take your calls. I don't have a guest today. I do have a short commentary on looking at the AMA, not as an example of medical excellence, but as a corrupted union for doctors. I'm going to give you some specific examples and also tie in Wikipedia and Stephen Barrett. And I'm going to be doing a lot more on this. In fact, this Tuesday I'm going to do a one-hour in-depth original investigative report on the AMA. I'll show you its corruption in great detail. When I say detail, I've been working on this for several years. I mean, I have minutes of meetings. I have court documents. I have discovery documents. Remember, you win a lawsuit in discovery and depositions. So the AMA, I'm sure, is the last time that I did an expose on them. They wrote a letter, the chairman of the board of the AMA, and was angry that I had written this piece because no one had written a piece about them before. So I invited them to come on my program and debate me. They chose not to. Wise decision. So now I'm going to do two reports. One this Tuesday on the Progressive Commentary, part two on the next Progressive Commentary. 2 full hours. Every single statement fully documented with legal documents. Why am I doing this? Because right now, virtually every person in this audience is being given misinformation by the medical industrial complex, by being adversely affected. For example, on mandatory vaccines. Who do you think pushes a lot of this stuff? Big Pharma. And who works hand in hand with Big Pharma to make sure that their drugs are given to the educational curriculum committees in medical schools? So your doctor is taught early on not to trust nature, not to trust innate healing, but rather to trust medications only. So they work hand in hand. Who controls Congress? Big Pharma. Who controls the media? Owns them. Big Pharma. Who do you think consults with the medical pundits on television like CNN? Big Pharma. They say there's no connection between autism vaccines. They lie. They say the CDC is there to protect the people. They lie. So we're going to expose this. We have to. Because otherwise we are so caught up in the immediacy of our day-to-day lives and taking care of ourselves and paying the rent that we don't often take a look at what's happening that impacts our lives. We will be doing that, as you will see. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to play a segment of a very powerful insight on 5G technology, why it's the most dangerous technology since the nuclear bomb. But it's worse than the nuclear bomb, because there's been 2 uses of the nuclear bomb, both by the United States under Harry Truman. He didn't have to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The war was, for all intents and purposes, over, and he was told by General Eisenhower and MacArthur and others, don't use it. He did anyhow. But what's more insidious than the nuclear bomb is the background radiation, what we call non-ionizing radiation, that can disrupt your chromosomes, affect your brain, cause cancers, heart disease, cause massive inflammatory conditions. If you talk about doing an experiment on the American public, there is absolutely nothing in a modern history that is going to be as bad to the bone as what's happening with 5G technology. So remember, I'm only presenting the best minds I can find in the world, 40 of them, on 40 separate programs, short clips, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Today you're going to hear from a professor of physics on this. That's our program. Let's begin with the latest on health and healing. This is from Oxford University. This is a study published in The Lancet in the current issue, and it talks about our moderate or low-level consumption of alcohol. It does not protect us against stroke, and that's why a lot of people were using it. It's good for your heart. No, it's not. They were wrong. They were dead wrong. I hate to think of how many hundreds of thousands of Americans started drinking alcohol and died because of it. No one took responsibility. No one apologized. No one gave back the money. I remember a person coming into my office to get counseled. He was having heart problems. Now, he had seen his cardiologist. In fact, he had seen his cardiologist the morning he came in the afternoon. And he said, I don't know why I'm doing badly right now. I have cardiomyopathy going towards congestive heart failure. I just saw my cardiologist, and he doesn't know why either. So I said, how's your diet? My diet's good. But it wasn't good. He was eating what he thought was a good diet. Meat 3 times a day, dairy 3 times a day. But then I said, is that it? He said, that's it. What are you doing to prevent heart disease? Well, I'm watching my weight. He was not overweight. And I'm, having my alcohol twice a day. And I stopped. I said, what do you mean you're having alcohol twice a day? He said, yeah, my doctor, my cardiologist said I should have 2 drinks a day. What kind of drinks do you drink? He said, well, I have scotch twice a day. How much do you have? Well, like a 4-ounce glass. Wow. You talk about really killing yourself, that will do it. So I went through about 2 hours of explaining what alcohol does on the heart. I'd written a book on alcohol and your health. Here's the reality. There is no such thing ever as a safe amount of alcohol. All alcohol is involved in oxidative stress to the degree that it can kill 1 million brain, heart, liver, and kidney cells with one single drink. And then they started saying it was good for blood pressure. It is not. And The Lancet makes it very clear. Oxford University states that blood pressure and stroke risk increase steadily as you take your alcohol. And that is the latest on that. So any of you who have been told by your doctor that drinking alcohol in moderate or low amounts is good for you is simply inaccurate, and it could cost you your life. But something that can help your life, and I'll bet anything that no doctor in America, well, no regular doctor in America knows a thing about chokeberries. Choke is C-H-O-K-E-B-E-R-R-Y. This is from the Medical University of Lublin in Poland, and it's talking about type 2 diabetes and cancer and coronary heart disease are very prevalent today. And what can we do? And they're talking about a natural plant that's rich in antioxidants and phytonutrients. But this plant is unique. Now, we have it here in the United States. It's grown in North America. It's called Aronia. A-R-O-N-I-A. Now, I know some of you in this audience are using it. I know that for a fact. It's a berry. But it's also called chokeberries. And it's one of the most potent berries based upon its chemical content of any berry in the world. It exceeds Aronia. It exceeds Noni and black raspberries, which are one of the most powerful, and tart cherries. It sits at the top of the pyramid. It has the strongest anti-aging properties of any berry. And it can significantly diminish a lot of the problems we have if we use it. Use it in a smoothie, use it in blend. You can't get it year-round, but you can get the powder, you can get the concentrate. That's not hard to get. But it's loaded with polyphenol compounds. So, just something to help you live a longer life. The Aronia, A-R-O-N-I-A. Also, I mentioned on yesterday's program why we need more fiber in the diet. And hopefully the fiber comes from beans and legumes, whole grains, nuts and seeds, and root vegetables, and starchy vegetables. That gives you a good blend. And of the berry family, blueberries and raspberries are your two best forms of fiber. They really cleanse those deep pockets within the intestine. And the more fiber you have, up to about 50 grams, the healthier you're going to be. Well, here's a new study. This comes from Sydney University of Technology. And they say that dietary fiber is one of the most important tools you can use in the prevention of progressive lung disease. And that's because of what they discovered are short-chain fatty acids that are strongly anti-inflammatory. They simply turn off inflammation, the free radicals, the cytokines, the tumor necrosis factor alpha, the prostaglandins that cause inflammation. The inflammation then causes free radical destruction. The free radical destruction then alters your genes. The average cell is altered 10,000 times every 24 hours. Now, when you think that you have you have 100 trillion genes, all told, cells. Now, if you have 10,000 gene alterations per day, then it's relatively easy to predict what kind of disease you're going to manifest and how quickly you're going to age at the biological level. I've done a whole map on this, and I posted it as an article so you can download it, read it, and then look for yourself. For example, if you eat a quality diet, you can shorten the duration of that damage by upwards of 90%. If you exercise, take proper supplements to compensate for the exercise creating oxidative stress, and de-stress, and therefore control your stress hormones, and clean up your environment, and then be in a healthy environment, you can eliminate 90% of the cell damage. On the other side of that, if you're the average American and you're eating a grab and eat diet, a junk food diet, or what they call comfort diet, you're going to have those full amount of hits. If you drink, you can actually get more oxidative stress and damage and therefore have more than 10,000 gene alterations per day. You're going to destroy millions of cells per drink. If you're sedentary, if you're around electromagnetic pulses from your cell phone and computers and Wi-Fi systems, and of course still to come is that really damaging impact of the G5, then you can actually have more than 10,000 gene alterations per day. So if you're having those amount of gene alterations, you're going to die faster because your cells are dying faster. So the whole idea is whatever you think and how you behave and what you eat and drink, what you do, can either speed up or slow down the aging of the cell. So it's at our level, it's that simple. Well, the fiber helps to slow down and undo the damage, and it also helps with COPD. And I mentioned COPD yesterday. For example, emphysema and chronic bronchitis and chronic asthma. They affect a lot of people, and smoking, of course, contributes to that. But then taking the short-chain fatty acids and the fiber by having a wholesome fiber like oatmeal in the morning, but the steel-cut oatmeal, not the instant oatmeal, can help that. So every time you have a smoothie and you throw a handful of walnuts or pecans or fruits in there, you're contributing to this short-chain fatty acid good fiber. Hence, you're turning off inflammation. Also, poverty leaves a mark on our genes. This is from Northwestern University. Now, we've talked about epigenetics a lot and how that directly shapes the gene expression at more than 2,500 sites across more than 1,500 genes. In other words, when you're poor and you grow up in a poor environment, it leaves a mark on nearly 10% of the genes in the genome. That's important. because our socioeconomic status is a powerful determinant of human health and disease and social inequality. And let's face it, it's ubiquitous as a stressor for the human populations globally. Nobody likes growing up in a deprived environment. And why this is important is because when you're in that deprived environment, you have more chronic inflammation, more insulin resistance, and more cortisol dysregulation. Because when you're stressed, because you may not know where you're going to sleep, and you may not know what, you know, you don't have enough money for food and medicine. Now, we should be dealing with it, but we're not. So your DNA deals with it. The DNA, what is called methylation, plays an important role in all this. So if we have a person going a strike against them because being born poor and being a poor environment, you actually have more than a strike. You have the rippling effect of now it impacting the gene expression, which can make them far more susceptible to premature aging and death. So don't you think it's time as a society that all of us work together to de-ghettoize our society, to help our children and those in poverty? I don't believe there's any major effort to do this. Local little efforts. But we should do this. We should try to help those that need help on a societal wide basis. And finally, from the University of Basque in Spain, vitamin B12 is identified as an inhibitor, a protector against a key enzyme in hereditary Parkinson's disease. Now, Parkinson's is the most common chronic neurodegenerative movement disorder, and a lot of people suffer from it. And so now know that if you're susceptible to it, take vitamin B12. I'm suggesting 1 milligram of methylated B12, 1 milligram methylated folic acid per day. This was published in Cell Research, and it's very important. That's the latest on health and healing. And by the way, women who are expectant who practice yoga, you can have an easier birth, according to Father Murray Medical College in India, published in the Journal of Alternative Medicine. So if you're pregnant, yoga can help you. 30 minutes of yoga a day can make a big difference, especially between the 30th and 39th week of pregnancy. So we're going to take your calls right after this message.
Questions for Gary. This is Ken from Queens. Yeah, I just saw this whole vaccine thing in Rockland County. And my question is, if my children weren't vaccinated, wouldn't I want them to get the measles? That way they do attain natural immunity for life? I'd like you to comment on that. That's what I think would be done. The best. Your answer, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Ken, if only the entire medical community thought like you do. Where I was growing up in a small town in West Virginia, when someone got chickenpox, we had chickenpox parties. Measles, we had measles party. We all got chickenpox, we all got the mumps, we all got measles, nobody died, and now we're immune for life. The vaccine does not give you immunity for life. In fact, a high number of people fully vaccinated, twice, even with booster shots, are coming down with a more virulent form of the disease. The CDC says that there are minor side effects from the MMR vaccine. That's the vaccine you're talking about, measles, mumps, rubella. And you might get a few things. Well, why don't you do what we did? We actually looked at Merck's ProQuad product insert. Now, this is from the manufacturer. Guess what is the number one complication and side effect of the measles vaccine? Measles. And then secondly is atypical measles. And then the vaccine strain varicella. and then varicella-like rash, and then herpes zoster. That's correct. Herpes simplex. You can get the herpes as a baby from getting the MMR vaccine, because a lot of people have gotten herpes. I mean, we probably have three-fourths of the entire American population has herpes in one form or another. Let's hope that you don't have the more deadly form of herpes, which is human herpes 6, because a lot of people who were diagnosed with AIDS, defining illness, they had measurable amounts of herpes 6, HIV, but herpes 6 was the real catalyst for the destruction. But anyhow, I've counseled nuns who were virgins and had herpes, and they were ashamed. And I said, look, did you have vaccines? Yes. Did you ever eat in a restaurant? Yes. Well, that glass you drank out of in a restaurant, this silverware that you used, even if it's washed in regular detergent, it can still carry the herpes virus. It's very easy to transmit. You can transmit it in a kiss. So don't feel guilty. If you took every person in America that has herpes off the streets, you would have a wasteland country. So we should stop stigmatizing it. Look what we can do to understand it. So the MMR measles vaccine can give you herpes, and also pneumonia and respiratory infections and bronchitis. And this is from their own package insert, and cellulitis and skin infections and subacute sclerosing and aseptic meningitis that can lead to autism and thrombocytopenia and aplastic anemia. And that's because anemia is due to the bone marrow inability to produce platelets, red and white blood cells, and also a lymphadenitis, which is an inflammation of the lymph nodes, and agitation, ocular palsies, and necrosing retinitis, which is a severe inflammation of your eyes, nerve deafness, and optic and retinobulbar neuritis, which is an inflammation of the nerve, Bell's palsy, and cerebrovascular accident, that's a stroke, by the way, that kills you, and measles inclusion body encephalitis and transverse myelitis, and tremors, dizziness, febrile seizures, and Steven Johnson syndrome, and Henoch Schlönen purpura, and arthritis, and death. You heard me right. The last item on Merck's own package insert is death. And there was a study published not long ago on the MMR vaccine in Canada determined that the risk of febrile seizures to be double in children receiving the MMR vaccine. And so you have to understand, you've got human blood derivative and therefore a theoretical risk of contamination with Christoph-Jacob disease, also known as mad cow disease. But you're never told any of this. You're never told that you can have brain inflammation, encephalitis, and chronic brain dysfunction. You're never told this. But these are just the truths of it. But I'm going to go a little step further. I'm going to ask our engineers in New York, please pull up two clips. One clip is Cheryl Atkinson. I just saw this last night. So if you have it loaded, let's see what the latest investigation, because this is a shocker. This is something you've not heard before. Do you remember how the government and all of its agents and all of its agencies says there is no connection whatsoever between vaccines of any type and autism? Well, guess who the person who testifies on behalf of the Justice Department? Remember, every time you go to vaccine court, you're testifying, and the people trying to see that you're wrong are Justice Department lawyers. So in effect, Big Pharma has hired our entire Justice Department's lawyers working in this area to attack your credibility. But they, in turn, are not medical doctors. They brought in one expert. There's one guy that controls it all and says there is no such thing as a connection between autism and vaccine. And because of what he says, his word stands, and then your judgment is rejected. Your case is rejected. Listen, you will be the first people in America to hear this.
Today we investigate one of the biggest medical controversies of our time, vaccines. There's little dispute about this much. Vaccines save many lives, and rarely they injure or kill. A special federal vaccine court has paid out billions for injuries from brain damage to death, but not for the form of brain injury we call autism. Now we have remarkable new information. A respected pro-vaccine medical expert used by the federal government to debunk the vaccine autism link says vaccines can cause autism after all. He claims he told that to government officials long ago, but they kept it secret.
Yates Hazelhurst was born February 11, 2000. Everything was normal, according to his medical records, until he suffered a severe reaction to vaccinations. Rolf Hazelhurst is Yates' dad.
At first, I didn't believe it. I did not believe that vaccines could cause autism. I didn't believe it.
This is today's hard reality for Yates. The trademark brain disease, pain, and inability to communicate that's common with severe autism. In 2007, Yates' father sued over his son's injuries in the little-known federal vaccine court. It was one of more than 5,000 vaccine autism claims. Congress created vaccine court in 1988 in consultation with the pharmaceutical industry. In the special court, vaccine makers don't defend their products. The federal government does it for them, using lawyers from the Justice Department. Money for victims comes from us, not the pharmaceutical industry, through patient fees added on to every vaccine given.
Our hearings are all closed to the public. And that's statutory.
In 2007, Yates' case and nearly all the other vaccine autism claims lost. The decision was based largely on the expert opinion of this man, Dr. Andrew Zimmerman, a world-renowned pediatric neurologist shown here at a lecture. Dr. Zimmerman was the government's top expert witness and had testified that vaccines didn't cause autism. The debate was declared over.
But now Dr. Zimmerman has provided remarkable new information. He claims that during the vaccine court hearings all those years ago, he privately told government lawyers that vaccines can and did cause autism in some children. That turnabout from the government's own chief medical expert stood to change everything about the vaccine autism debate if the public were to find out.
And he has come forward and explained how he told the United States government that vaccines can cause autism in a certain subset of children. And the United States government, the Department of Justice, suppressed his true opinions.
Hazelhurst discovered that later when Dr. Zimmerman evaluated Yates as a teenager. That's when he partnered with vaccine safety advocate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has a voice condition.
This was one of the most consequential frauds, arguably, in human history.
Kennedy was instrumental in convincing Dr. Zimmerman to document his remarkable claim of the government covering up his true expert opinion on vaccines and autism. Dr. Zimmerman declined our interview request and referred us to his sworn affidavit. It says on June 15, 2007, he took aside the Department of Justice or DOJ lawyers he worked for defending vaccines in vaccine court. He told them that he discovered exceptions in which vaccinations could cause autism. I explained that in a subset of children, vaccine-induced fever and immune stimulation did cause regressive brain disease with features of autism spectrum disorder.
This panicked the two DOJ attorneys, and they immediately fired Zimmerman. They called, that was on a Friday, and over the weekend they called Zimmerman and said his services would no longer be needed. They wanted to silence him.
Days after the Department of Justice lawyers fired Dr. Zimmerman as their expert witness, he alleges they went on to misrepresent his opinion to continue to debunk autism claims. Records show that on June 18, 2007, a DOJ attorney Dr. Zimmerman spoke to told Vaccine Court, "We know Dr. Zimmerman's views on the issue. There is no scientific basis for a connection between vaccines and autism." Dr. Zimmerman now calls that highly misleading. The former DOJ lawyer didn't return our calls and emails. Kennedy has filed a fraud complaint with the Justice Department Inspector General, who told us they don't comment on investigations or potential investigations. Meantime, CDC, which promotes vaccines and monitors vaccine safety, never disclosed that the government's own one-time medical expert concluded vaccines can cause autism. And to this day, public health officials deny that's the case.
Based on dozens of studies and everything I know as a physician and a scientist, there's no link between autism and vaccines.
CDC declined our interview request. In addition to filing a fraud complaint, Kennedy has delivered Dr. Zimmerman's affidavit to leaders on Capitol Hill. But there, he claims, is another key part of this story, roadblocks set up by the pharmaceutical industry, or pharma.
Everybody takes money from pharma, so they've all been corrupted, and it's almost impossible to get anything done on Capitol Hill.
Kennedy, a Democrat, isn't the only one claiming vaccine industry money rules the day. We spoke to 11 current and former members of Congress and staff who claimed they faced pressure, bullying, or threats when they raised vaccine safety questions. Several of them agreed to appear on camera.
There's no question in my mind whatsoever that the pharmaceutical industry had a great influence with people over at the CDC and FDA. There's no question in my mind.
Republican Dan Burton, former chairman of the House Oversight Committee, has an autistic grandson.
I am not against vaccinations.
He pursued vaccine investigations in the early 2000s. Beth Clay was one of his staffers.
There was a lot of pressure from people on the Hill.
When you say people on the Hill were exerting pressure, what kind of people? Colleagues?
Well,
or
colleagues. There were pharmaceutical lobbyists. The pharmaceutical lobbyists had, you know, they're the same people that have been entrenched. They can walk into any office on Capitol Hill, and they'll talk to staff, they'll talk to members, and they'll encourage them to discourage our investigation.
At the risk of stating the obvious, why do they have that kind of access to members?
It's money. I mean, if you look at the donations over the last 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry, and Republican and Democrat, they're nonpartisan. They put money everywhere.
Former Congressman Dr. Dave Weldon, a Republican, says he got the message loud and clear.
If you would want to hold a hearing on an issue like vaccines and autism, your own leadership might fight you on that because of the financial influence the pharmaceutical industry.
No, they wouldn't fight you. They would kill it. It's dead. They don't even want to discuss it. It's dead on arrival. If you as an individual member want to take on the pharmaceutical industries, it's forget it.
Can you describe an incident or just how that would go?
It would typically be in a hallway or on the street, and people would come up to you and say, you really need to, back off on this. It could be bad for the community or bad for the country or bad for you.
Weldon says he's generally pro-vaccine depending on the patient and the shot, and gives flu shots to adults. We asked him to review Dr. Zimmerman's new affidavit.
I found his affidavit and testimony through that affidavit to be consistent with my opinions. Some children can get an autism spectrum disorder from a vaccine.
Republican Bill Posey is a current member of Congress.
I don't have to tell you that industry is a very, very powerful industry. Matter of fact, I don't know of anyone more powerful than that industry.
Posey says his own party leaders twice promised to hold hearings on the topic, only to scuttle them in the end. Hazelhurst, who happens to be a criminal prosecutor, was scheduled to be a witness at one such congressional hearing. 2 weeks before the hearing in 2013, he briefed congressional staff.
I presented at that congressional briefing, and I explained in that hearing, if I did to a criminal in a court of law what the United States Department of Justice did to vaccine-injured children, I would be disbarred and I would be facing criminal charges. I think that scared the hell out of them.
The hearing was abruptly canceled. Meantime, Dr. Zimmerman, the one-time expert used to debunk vaccine autism claims,
And Cheryl Atkinson reported the one doctor that they used who said there is no connection now states that there is a connection and there was all along. So that's a cover-up. Our parents out there were right. The medical doctors, the pediatricians, and the others involved were wrong. The CDC is a criminal organization, should be disbanded, as should the FDA. And Big Pharma has a death grip on our legislators and on the media. They'll never tell the truth, ever. They can't. They can't afford to. That's one of the reasons why when Wikipedia, that we should be asking for congressional investigation, and I've put up a legal document that has been submitted to the IRS and the Inspector General of the IRS to investigate that Wikipedia is not honoring its mandate to stay indemnified from lawsuits because it is creating original copy. But who does that copy by the skeptics benefit? It benefits Big Pharma. Who do I believe is behind all of the defamatory information on chiropractors, homeopaths, holistic doctors, holistic nurses, holistic dentistry, body-mind meditation? The pharmaceutical industry. It's a competition, and they don't allow competition. And they have the power to stop it. Are they down and dirty? Oh, wait till you hear my Tuesday night report, a one-hour report. Yes, they're down and dirty. They're as dirty and down as you can get. Will they stop at anything? I never will forget this. A true story. I came out of WBAI. It was a warm summer day. A gentleman in a car, I just remember him sweating profusely, and he was bald-headed, and he was in this car, and I went around the corner to the police station because he wanted me to get in the car, and I said, no, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to get in a car with a stranger. But he said that he was from a pharmaceutical working group dealing with the null problem. And he went on to tell me, and I said, well, why are you telling me this? He said, because I spent 3 years going through your background, everything about you, and what I had been led to believe was justification for trying to destroy your reputation. And we have a whole group that just commits lies on people. We can destroy a person's reputation, whisper campaigns. We can say things about people, and the media will not look for the truth. They will take our information. That's how well implanted we are in the media. And I said, how do I know you're telling the truth? And he gave me five examples, and no one in the world knew those examples. No one. That I had a contract with ABC to do a health series, and I had done the pilots with Alice Fennell, a multi-Emmy award-winning director, and they were canceled. I was paid. They were canceled. The largest book contract of my career, $1 million contract, canceled on the day we went in to get it signed. And the most concerning was, did I have a medical doctor in a platonic relationship, just a friendship, that I had met at a network marketing party that Jerry Rubin had? Did she ask because her apartment was being fumigated for bed bugs, could she spend an evening when I was going to be out of town lecturing in California in the office, and she would just, you know, sleep on a couch and just for one night? No one knew that. And he said, well, she's not a medical doctor, and she was in there to download anything on your hard drive. And they wanted to know who your sources are, what articles you're writing, who you're collaborating with, how it might impact them. They wanted to get that information and neutralize it before it could get out. And that person you will never see again, try to contact her. Her phone won't be, and he was right. Understand what it's like to be set up. And then who do you trust after that? You don't know how down and dirty Big Pharma is, but it's despicable. And I have less regard for the medical profession because of how uncritically 900,000 doctors are of what medicine has become today. Now, we have about 15 minutes left in the program. I want to go now to a G5. You better pay attention to this. I hope you pay attention. I hope you start putting pressure on your corrupt little crummy, you know, city councils. They're utterly corrupt. They're in the landlord's pocket. And where all this G5, they're uneducated. They're functionally illiterate on G5. 99.9999% of everyone in the world is total unprepared for the downside of G5, but it's coming, so I'm putting the word out now. Worse than DDT, Aldrin, heptachlor, worse than GMOs. That's how bad G5 is. And yet watch a commercial on television and see how enticing it is. Here's one of the world's leading experts on G5.
Okay. A lot's happened in 125 years since we had Tesla at the World's Fair demonstrating the first AC power system. We've gone through a whole series of developments all the way through to Edison and to Marconi, into 1920s, the first commercial radio station. And we've also gone all the way up from 1947, where we had the first microwave phone relay, all the way through to cellular communications, those big phones, remember those big phones in the 80s? All the way through to today. Now, interestingly enough, in the States, the EPA, which was measuring all this stuff, they stopped measuring EMF over the country in the States in 1979. But already, as you can see there from the very last point, the first mile above the Earth is now filled with 2 million times the amount of EMF that we've faced in 1900. For about 4 billion years, the energies that surrounded life were very simple. We've got something called a Schumann resonance. It kind of goes around the Earth, and it's modulated by atmosphere, by electricity, and by other things. And there was radio signals from distant stars, but that's obviously changed. Now, the standards today, as you can read at the bottom there, are based on thermal effects, heat effects on the skin. Now, that's rubbish, because the effects that are causing the problems that we're discussing today are not caused by those. They're caused by biologic effects by the EMF. And I'll start going through them. Now, what led me to this is I read the literature. And as Ian will tell you, I'm no activist. I'm not about to try and bring the government down, for crying out loud. I'm just a normal person who works in a clinic with patients. And I read the literature. When professors say this, the new 5G wireless technology involves millimeter waves, which are extremely high frequencies, producing photons of much greater energy that we've already heard about than 4G, and allowing this technology to be used without providing its safety is reckless in the extreme, as the millimeter waves are known to have a profound effect on all parts of the human body. They did studies with this. It was actually a very good study. It was controlled, and they controlled for heat. And if you put Wi-Fi 2 inches away from a kind of watercress, if you like, gardencress growing, compared to one that's even a bit further away, they're still using Wi-Fi. Just further away, you can see the difference. This is an anti-life technology. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Haven't got time to get into this, but also many components of the atmosphere absorb this. Okay, it affects it. And this is a huge experiment, because you're about to globally go around this world, globally, and you're about to bombard it with this technology. And God knows what it's going to do for the atmosphere, and people are speculating about that. They've shown effects that, yes, it's not just on the surface, it actually gets past the blood-brain barrier and causes problems deep into the brain. And I knew about this probably 30 years ago. I was listening to experts talking about 30 years ago, or maybe even longer, and they were warning about this. Another paper. But what it's telling you is a reported higher risk of intracranial tumour for mobile phone use over 10 years. Anyone being near mobile phones, that's all of us over 10 years. When it says an odds ratio of 2.2 for glioma, that means it's twice the chance of getting this particular tumour, and on and on and on. And increased risk of brain tumour using cordless phones. And what they find is, they say ipsilateral. It's the side you use it on. That's where you get the tumour. This guy, you may have heard of Martin Paul, or Powell. He's a professor emeritus. In other words, he's retired. And you find that these guys tell the truth when they retire. And he's saying, well, I've got an idea. I think that the reason why we're having these biological effects, not thermal, is because it's something to do with VGCC. These are particular channels in the cells. In other words, these channels are being activated by this EMF. These channels are everywhere in all your cells. Okay? And also it affects oxidative and nitrosative stress. This is very important, because we now know that these are components of actually control mechanisms inside the cell. So what he's really saying is that this stuff affects how your cells work, and providing strong evidence that these fields can produce an almost instantaneous activation of these cells. So that's the hypothesis. It's backed up by actual field work as well. They did studies here looking at all various things with animals, different doses, different frequencies, all the rest of it, different times of dose, and they showed long-term memory was reduced in these test animals. Is anybody seeing an explosion of neurodegenerative problems, Alzheimer's, and all sorts of stuff? Anyone noticing that? Okay, there's many, many reasons for that, and this may well be one of the reasons. But remember, it's safe. Because over here, look, it's only to do with anything that bombards the skin, because if you go over 10 gigahertz, apparently, it's not a problem because it's just going to bounce off you. Here's 11 research groups reporting that between 40 and 130 gigahertz, you get damage to neuronal activity. When it says in vivo, it means live, okay, just using modest levels of millimeter wave exposure. Okay, so if anyone says to you it doesn't cause any damage and there's no studies, that's complete nonsense, because there's 11 separate research groups reporting nerve damage from this radiation. Another paper, once again, showing that it goes into the brain, into the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus is areas to do with memory, to do with, sadly, when children are abused, these areas can be damaged, and to how you form memory as well. And that animal's head didn't have the phone or the source right near its ear, it had it 40 centimetres away. And who knows, when you have a phone, we should not be using these damn things anyway, but when you do, you should have it off your ear. Does everyone know that? You should never have it on your ear. And they're showing with this technology here, even when it's 40 centimetres away, it's causing damage. No disrespect to this woman. Hopefully you can hear.
What if you could see Wi-Fi signals? It sure would make it easier to figure out where to go to check your email for free. I'm Jen Markham on Buzz 60. Artist Nikolai Lam, known for his photo manipulations, created a series of images of Washington, D.C. landmarks illustrating Wi-Fi signals as different colors. Using data from a Wi-Fi coverage map on the city's website, Lam depicted how the energy from a Wi-Fi signal travels in waves with different channels, emits the source in a sphere. He also showed how the data travels from routers on multiple signals or colors at the same time, and how trees and buildings can disrupt the signal. Lam used color to show the individual channels that make up an overall Wi-Fi signal. It'd be so cool if this was a real thing. Can you imagine all the color exploding in dense urban areas? Now all we need is for the passwords to be visible too. Buzz 60. Now you know. Pass it.
Okay, that's just a little bit, and I'm going to keep it in small amounts because there's so much quality information that he is giving that you're going to become overwhelmed with it. So we're going to do it in like 3 to 4 minute segments. And that way, we'll be doing it on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to have the audience have a chance now to call in on our talkback number, 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So if you have a question, now's your opportunity, or a statement you'd like to make on the things that we have discussed. I'm talking about the things we've discussed today. Then feel free to call in. And because it's always important to have that input. What I've been saying is that Big Pharma has controlled our reality. They've controlled our truths. And that's not good. All right? And if I don't get any calls, I'm going to go to another clip here from Cheryl Atkinson, who has something to say about the measles vaccine. But I'll ask our engineers if we have anyone calling in now at 888-874-4888. And by the way, the latest thing from Sustainable Pulse, the USDA has given non-regulated status to more than 20 gene-edited crops. Quote, according to new research carried out by Tess Biotech, the United States Department of Agriculture, which, by the way, is completely captured at the functioning technocratic policymaking level, has already given non-regulated status to more than 20 genetically engineered plants with so-called genome editing techniques. None of the applications registered at the USDA were referred for further, more detailed assessment, which means you could be getting tomatoes, mushrooms, potatoes, alfalfa, corn, rice, soybeans, wheat, that are all genetically engineered. And remember, once you edit a genome, and it goes into the body, there is no understanding of what happens inside the body. It can continue to morph into other problems for you. So now they've allowed 20 more products, and they don't have to be labeled. Also, from the University of Rhode Island, they talk about pure maple syrup can help reduce chronic inflammation. This is something new. The first ever global symposium solely dedicated to sharing the latest scientific discoveries on the potential health benefits, shows that pure 100% maple syrup can turn off inflammation. That would mean for arthritis and fibromyalgia, even brain conditions. So that's important. George from California. Your turn, George.
Hi, Gay. I listen to progressive programs to learn the truth about what's going on, and I'm sure a lot of your audience does the same. Lately, I've been hearing them talking about, this is kind of a little confusing, talking about vaccines, and someone also mentioned homeopathy being, they talk about a movement that is anti-vaccine, and basically these progressive hosts are, they've been convinced that vaccines are good, homeopathy is bad, and I'm sitting there thinking, is there anything I can do about this to connect them with you guys to get the other side of the
of get the truth? Yes, George, you're probably thinking of some of the hosts on KPFK in Los Angeles, and even Amy Goodman. Yes, on the subject of vaccines, many of the not progressives, because progressives don't start off with an agenda and then cherry-pick information to justify it. They're interested in the truth. So wherever that truth comes down, that's what they focus upon. What you can do is this. They have opinions to back them up, and the only reference they have are spokespersons like Paul Offit or people who support vaccines but don't have the science to show that it's either safe or effective. The sources we use are original scientific sources. And because I'm a scientist, and because we have scholars, and because we have Richard Gale and others who worked in the vaccine field in the genome projects, we can study the scientific literature. And I spent almost 18,000 hours of research. So it's not just a standard lay opinion. The other pundits out there, even though on other topics they may be more objective and balanced and fair, on the subject of medications, diagnosing children, the over-medication of children, the giving shots like the flu shot, which is not just unfortunately it does not work, but also it's deadly, they align with the pharmaceutical industry. It's much like the left losing its focus in supporting the CIA and Brennan and the National Security Agency and two former heads of the FBI, Mueller and Comey. And look at the history of the FBI. Why in the world would you support fascist, rageful organizations? And as you just heard Robert F. Kennedy say, and that federal prosecutor whose own son developed autism, that the Justice Department lawyers were defending the vaccine makers and not the children and the families who were victimized. That's how screwed up we are, okay? That's really damaging. We'll take one more call from Michael from New York. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, Gary. It's great to hear you, and it's great to be on. I've been meaning to call and ask you about cell phone antennas all over water towers. Nobody seems to be bringing this up, and I know microwaves affect water very badly, and it, you know, if it has the effect of the microwave, I don't even know the amount that's with cell phone antennas all over the water towers.
Okay, the water tower is rarely used. That's a reservoir. The water towers on top of buildings are there in case the water is contaminated that's coming in from the central reservoirs and upstate reservoirs in case there's an emergency. You're not using that water. But I would never drink that water under any circumstance. But that's not the problem. The problem is not that little amount of water on top of a building. The problem is that every one of those towers is a part of this new G5 technology. Except you're going to have sometimes 2 to 3 towers, 5 to 10 towers, depending upon the size of the building, on every building. And you cannot complain about it because when they wrote the laws through the different commissions, there were 2 different commissions, the FCC being one of them, that they excluded input from environmental groups, medical groups, or health groups. So even if you can show the health deleterious adverse effects of these cell towers and G5, you can't say they can't go on a building. That's how much they tied up this. And you can thank Bill Clinton because he was the one responsible for this in 1996 when this all occurred. So you got it, all these cell towers, you will be adversely affected because they destroy cells, as you will hear in 40 separate interviews by experts coming up on this program. I just shared the first one, 5 minutes, the first one today. That's the big problem. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more on our next program.